Good morning. Uncle Werner, can you get those words up for me? When you're standing at home and you've got your arms crossed in front of you and you're talking to someone, you're not receiving a whole lot. Your body language is telling a lot of different things. This morning, and it might be a little uncomfortable for some of you, but I'd like to challenge you to try. I'd like you to open your hands and just put them on your lap. As a visual symbol of opening your heart before God this morning. And we're going to start by singing, Come. Now is the time to worship with our hearts and our hands open this morning. Please join me. Please bow your heads. Lord, we've come from another week of amazing storms and holy moments of beauty outside of the storms. Some of our storms have included relationships with family members or friends or even ourselves. Other battles involve our health or those we love, and we have been fearful, Lord. We struggle with loneliness and Satan's attacks about who we are and our value here on earth. God, we give all these storms to you. Please take them. Walk with us in our challenges. There is no other way to make it through. This morning we come, plain, simple, to sit with your people and rest with you. To worship and be filled again. In the midst of the storms, Lord, you send holy moments. Thank you. Thank you for hope and courage, for orange and red marshmallow skies, double rainbows, for health, for healthy relationships renewed, for strength to go on. Thank you for your most Holy Spirit's company and guidance. You, O Lord, are such a complex and amazing God. Thank you for inviting us into your presence this morning. Thank you for filling us when we are hungry. Thank you for being here right now. May our worship this morning be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I'd like to read a short passage from Luke 14, verse 15. I'm going to read it from the Message this morning to give us a little different perspective on some things. That triggered a response from one of the guests. How fortunate the one who gets to eat dinner in God's kingdom. Jesus followed. Yes, for there was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guests, saying, "Come on in, the food is on the table." When they began to beg off, one after having made excuses, the first said, "I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. Send my regrets." Another said, "I just bought 5 teams of oxen. I really need to go check them out. Send my regrets." And yet another said, "I just got married. I need to get home to my wife." The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, "Quickly, get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits and homeless and wretched you can lay your hands on, and bring them here." The servant reported back, "Master, I did what you commanded. There is still room." The master said, "Then go out to the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full. Let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party." Some thoughts from the devotional reading guide. A great king prepares a banquet. Nobles and important relatives, key leaders, anybody who is anybody is invited. The castle is in a frenzy. Bakers bake, blacksmiths hammer, tailors embroider. Widows and beggars wonder about the menu and the decor. All speculation, of course, as none of them imagine they will ever enter in. As the day of the wedding draws near, messengers begin to arrive. "Just bought land. Family crisis, can't come. Business affairs have me swamped. Sorry." The king is baffled and angry. How can his closest friends spurn his invitation? But his hall must be full. Messengers go out to the bakers, the blacksmiths, and the tailors. "Come on in, join the banquet." Stunned and elated, they all hurry to the great hall. Widows, beggars, and even pickpocketers are called to join the feast. What joy among the most hungry to taste the king's banquet. What wonder as the tradespeople and paupers look around the room and find themselves guests at the king's table. And I? Do I remember this daily? I was once the catering staff. Now I'm invited to sit at the royal table. Do I fall on my knees in gratitude every time I accept God's love and generosity? And do I remember that the unsavory character to my right or my left is an honored invited guest also? Can my grateful wonder help me to honor every other welcomed guest? No one has the right to sit at God's feasting table. Yet here we are. May our awestruck gratitude inspire us to treat every other guest with the same honor we have been granted. With those words, I welcome you this morning to God's house and to his table this morning. I hope that each one of you have been welcomed by somebody else already. It's good to see visitors and guests this morning. Is there anybody that we should introduce this morning? Somebody who has a guest. Good to see you guys here. Anybody else? I'm going to introduce them then. Yeah, I'm waiting for this group over here, but they're trying to figure it out still. So I'm going to say, Mark, good to see you here. And Joanne and Wayne and... Oh, I'm blank. Help me out. Linnea. I was going to say Anessa, and that's not right. Linnea, welcome here. Walter's mom and dad and other family members are here. It's good to see you. Anybody else that's new? Welcome to everybody. I'm glad you came to God's house this morning. I'd invite you now to go into our announcements. I know Char has an announcement. I have asked Jamie if she wants to share something. I have a little update from Ashley as well. So those of you who want to come up, if you would do that. While they're coming up, let's take a quick peek. Or you want to go first, Char? Go for it.
So last Sunday, Ryan Thiessen was telling us about his friend and co-worker in the work of Jesus there in Mexico, Benito. He's Benny. He's one of those guys who doesn't have a last name, I don't think.
I've never heard.
You know, it's kind of like your friend's friends who are always Tim and Sue, you know. But Benny, we were able to meet him. He is... this morning we were talking about people in the Bible and reminding ourselves that they were real people who were experiencing God. And here's a man who has had a colorful past and a Mexican man. And God has gotten hold of him in powerful ways. And his visa came through. He will for the first time be able to come to Canada. And I don't think he's ever been further than Phoenix. Because of a colorful past, international border crossings can be a little tricky. So he got this visa. He is going to come and see us. He's going to be here next Sunday morning, I believe, sharing with us. We will be seeing and hearing some of the things that God does in an amazing man of God. So that will be next Sunday. He will be speaking. But at noon, right after that, you're welcome to come over to our place. We'll be spending time with Benny and Ryan and whoever else wants to come. Please know that you're welcome. That is next Sunday at lunch. Though if you want to bring something, you can, but no.
I'm thinking it's potluck. Char says no. All right. If you want to bring something, you're welcome to. All right. Thanks, Char. The church bulletin still says Pastor Rudy is speaking next week. That is because that was still sort of all in the works. So Pastor Rudy and Kathy are expecting to be back tomorrow night, and we'll be very eager to have Benny speak on Sunday. On the top of our prayer and praise item is Jamie and Ashley and so on. So I'm going to ask Jamie to do her own update rather than me try and put words in her mouth.
Good morning. It's hard to know where to begin. I'm not sure who follows the blog and who doesn't, so I'll just back up a little bit earlier. We just finished our most intense phase next to our initial hospital phase. We're very happy that it's done. It was a lot of medication, a lot of really intense chemotherapy, and it wiped her out probably even more than we anticipated. So we have been in isolation since about mid-June. We are chancing it a little bit this morning, but we're hoping that our numbers are high enough that we're safe. We're getting a little bit of cabin fever, so we've slowly started venturing out into safe places. So places where we're not touching too much, that kind of thing. We were scheduled to start a second or another treatment phase this week. Her numbers, and when I say that, I mean that her blood count, her white cells, red cells, all that kind of stuff, they weren't high enough. There wasn't enough for it to be safe enough to go ahead to do more chemotherapy yet. So we had to let her build up this week, and we're hoping to proceed next week, and we will start again another phase for 2 months. This phase, we're going to be going in every 10 days to get chemotherapy. We'll be on about 3 different kinds, and then twice we'll be getting what we call lumbar punctures, which is chemotherapy into the spinal column. She's doing good. She's here. You'll see. She's got a lot of energy. She's smiling. Often I say the way she acts does not correspond with the numbers that we see in her body. So that has been great. If we're going to see those numbers, it's sure nice to still see a little girl smiling. A couple surprises this last end of the phase. We were supposed to have a break, but instead of a break, we went in about 2-3 times a week for some surprise trips, blood transfusions, platelet transfusions, that kind of thing. a fever popped up. Fever is probably one of our biggest concerns when we don't have any immune system. But again, we were protected. God was there, and we were able to stay home. Very, very thankful for that. When you have four kids, staying in the hospital with two of them is just not ideal. Other than that, I think that kind of sums up where we're at. We're hoping that in the next few weeks we can rejoin the world a little bit and enjoy some summer. Maybe a little more contained than normal, but we're looking at possibly camp. Maybe if we're going to go crazy, one camping on the yard. But we'll figure it out. We're getting there. We're trying. So we still appreciate any help that's been coming our way. We're so grateful for that. Thank you again for praying for us, for the meals, snacks. It's just gone such a long way in some of these weeks that are so full of appointments. And we are still going to Portage, to our natural path there, and we go there about twice a week. So we're driving anywhere from 3 to 4 times a week for appointments. But this last week for a break, it was really nice.
All right, keep those thoughts in your head. We're going to do a little bit of prayer time a little bit later. I just want to also give you an update on Ashley. I was able to connect with her on my phone. So she sent me some fairly lengthy update on Ashley, and I'm just going to, on Skylar, and I'm just going to sum it up a little bit. Earlier on, they had a really rough patch. They were at the ER a couple of times in a few weeks doing intravenous. This last week, she says she's improved a lot. We've gone after the rough patch. They found another of those benign tumors in her back, so they updated her medication the most they've ever done. She also had a virus, which meant that she was throwing up. So she was throwing up her medication, and so that as a result of that, her body didn't have the medication, and her tumor started growing again, which causes the whole eating kind of cycle sort of thing happening. August 9th, she has an MRI where they're going to be scanning her whole body to see if the tumors are growing in other places. Right now, she has a total of 7 throughout her body. The next step is also to check her arteries. There seems to be some blood flow that is not happening in places they would like to see it going. And so they're checking, starting to check some arteries and that kind of thing. When she is eating and able to grow, with every half pound she gains, they change her medication. So you can see it's a constant up and down. Increases in medication always changes people and makes her irritable and fussy. Ashley wanted me to make sure to tell you that she appreciates all of the prayers that are going up. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to ask her more questions. But that's a quick update on where Ashley and her family, Skylar, are. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff health-wise going on. In our bulletin, also want to highlight and help us remember to pray for Alan, Robin, Alyssa, Althea. With all the things that they've gone through, there's sort of tends to be a spot where you kind of crash at the bottom and you wonder how you're going to make it to the next day. What's that next moment look like? Alan wanted me to express, make sure that you know he does value all of our prayers. And pray whatever God's putting on your heart for them, was what he asked for. Those in our care group, care homes, Susan Jansen, Trudy Harms, Helen Fair, Helen Jansen, and Jake Rempel, continue to remember them. On the next list, there's a couple of things that need to be corrected on that next list. Lauren, her family, Ryan Thiessen, who is here for a short bit, Murray and Carol Huntsberger, Eagles Wings, John and Natalie are working towards their little stint coming home. We anticipate having them around sometime in September. Tyler Lowen is not in Cambodia anymore, as far as I know. I think he's home and has been working on adjusting back home. Andrea is not in Hawaii. She is also home right now, picking up every shift that she can. I'm seeing her right here. It's good to see you, Andrea. I know you're going back. Do you know the date you're going back? Okay. So for right now, she's also on a home leave, picking up all the shifts she can at the hospital. Janessa is still working with the School of the Kingdom, taking a little break, getting married, and taking a little sabbatical from that, I think. So some things, just some changes in that list over there. This morning, for our prayer time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to read two short passages, and then I'd like to spend some time in quiet prayer, and we can each offer up the prayers that God has in your hearts. I'm just going to read really quickly Revelations 5, verse 8. The elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. Each had a harp, and each had a bowl, a gold bowl filled with incense, the prayers of God's holy people, and they sang a new song. And then Psalm 141 also speaks of our prayers as bowls of incense. 141, verse 1 and 2. God, come close, come quickly. Open your ears, it is my voice you are hearing. Treat my prayers as sweet incense rising. My raised hands are my evening prayers. And so this morning I'm going to invite you just into a short time of silent prayer to bring these people and any others that God has put on your heart, bring them up before God, and imagine those bowls of incense, bowls of prayers being presented before his holy throne this morning. Father God, we come before you. And we bring our concerns and our praises to you. Thank you, Father, that you hear our prayers. Amen. Erica, please.
It's significant to hear the stories of the people in and among us. And it's significant to recognize God's presence in those places. And that's part of what we do when we come together. And we open our mouths to sing and worship. We are saying, God, you are God in our stories and in our daily lives. It's not a separate item on the bulletin. It's our daily lives being brought before God as an offering, and us coming together and say, God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. Turn to page 20 in your hymnal. It'll also be projected on the screen. Let's stop and pause and praise thou the Lord, O my soul.
Blessed be the Lord God Almighty.
One announcement I was going to draw your attention to that I missed is church council meeting, which was scheduled for July 25th, is changed to August. So just read the rest of them in your bulletin, but do take note of those. I'll invite the ushers to come forward for the offering, please.
My soul is yearning for your living stream. My heart is a
bow to pray. Father God, thank you that you are everything we need. Thank you that you instill in us a thirst and a hunger for more of you. Lord, you've given us so much this morning as we take the offering and are given the opportunity. Pray that you would accept our offerings back to you. Thank you, Lord. Invite Marilyn and the children. Marilyn's got a children's story this morning, so the kids would come up.
Good morning. How are we doing? Good to see you guys. Did you guys all have breakfast today? Everybody had breakfast? You know what? I didn't. And I'm hungry. And my stomach is starting to growl, so if you hear it, please excuse me. Okay. Today we're going to talk about somebody that I think about when I'm hungry. And I have, guess what kind of story I have to tell you today? Does anybody know what kind of story it might be? Yeah? Pardon? Yes! Thank you! Our guest knows it's a true story. Thank you. You and I were going to be good friends. I'm going to tell you a story about a little girl. I have a picture of her. Mr. Ince is going to put it up for us. So you have to turn around and look just for a second. There she is. If you can't see her, you can stand up for a second. She's on the screen now. Maybe you can see her back there. Yeah. So her name is Shakira. And she lives at Eagle's Wings at the orphanage in Uganda where we served. And at the time this picture was taken, she was probably somewhere around about 5 or so. You're not quite sure. They knew she was born in the rainy season. That's about it. But anyway, she was about 5 then. Shakira is quite a character. She loves to laugh and she loves to tease. And when you would ask her her name, she would say, Shakira! So she was full of life and excitement. It was very fun, and I loved her right away. But I noticed something about Shakira. I noticed that she was always hungry. And I also found out when I worked with the people who work there at the orphanage that they had to be careful that if they made some meat, let's say they made chicken, and there have bones, right, in the chicken. They had to be careful to put away the bones because if Shakira found them, guess what she would do? She would eat them. She would gnaw on the bones like just, and they would be gone. Like she would gnaw on it all day and just, because you know what? Shakira has been hungry. When Shakira, before she came to live at the orphanage, somebody found Shakira in the bush, all by herself, crying and looking for food. And they found out that her mommy had already gone to heaven, and her daddy, well, he was kind of sick. He had some problems, and he had left her. He'd gone off to do something else. She was all by herself. She had no food. And she was wandering and crying and looking for food. And you know, for the rest of her, and she'd been at the orphanage for over a year when we met her. And still, if she could get a hold of food, she would just eat it. And if anybody couldn't finish theirs, they would give it to Shakira. And she would just eat it. Because there was a longing in her to be fed. And she was never satisfied. It was never enough that she would say, okay, I'm full now, I don't need any more. Now, what do you think we can learn from that? This morning, Walter's going to be talking to us about a verse in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you. It says, blessed, we learned it this morning, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, remember we learned that in Sunday school, for righteousness, for they will be filled. So Shakira reminds me of how I need to long for God, long to be fed by Him. How can we be fed by God? How does God feed us? Does He feed us food? He blesses us with food. But He, you know, when I open my Bible, sometimes I feel afraid. Do you ever feel afraid? sometimes I feel quite afraid or upset. And then I open up my Bible, and it feeds my soul. And I'm not afraid anymore. And I'm not upset anymore. And I feel filled up with good instead. And then I want to be more like that wonderful God who gave us this word. Sometimes I pray. Do you ever pray? Do you feel better when you pray? Does it fill you up with a feeling of being satisfied? You know what? There's nothing else. There's nothing else on this earth that can give you that feeling that God can give you. That feeling of being filled, being satisfied. And we can never have enough. But we can always count on God. Shakira didn't trust people to take care of her. She didn't trust where her next meal was coming from. But we can trust God. We can trust that when we pray, He will hear us. And when we read the Word, He will speak to us. And He will help us. And He will never leave us. And He will always love us with a passion and a love that no one else ever will. And that is what we need to be filled with so that we can be more like Him and spread His love around. Can I pray for you right now? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, You are good, and You are all that we need. And in our hearts, we're always looking for You. And sometimes we get confused about what we need to be filled with. But I ask that You will fill us all with a deep longing for You. A hunger for You. A desire to read Your Word. A desire to know You better. And Lord, I pray that as we read Your Word, You will speak to us. And that we will learn to trust You. That You are all we need. Fill our hearts today, Lord. Fill our souls. Fill us with more of Your Spirit. Fill us with Your love and Your joy. Thank You for these children. God, I pray that they will hunger for You every day of their lives. Bless them, Lord, I pray. Jesus,
take your hymnals and turn to page 585. Werner, I'm just switching those songs around. Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing.
Lord, I am fondly, earnestly longing into Thy holy likeness to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion.
Good morning. This morning I will be reading Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
I was talking with my son Jordan yesterday. He's not here. If he was, I was going to put a jug of iced tea up here and a bowl of vegetables, carrots, and cucumbers, and watch him squirm the whole message. If any of you know him, he likes iced tea and vegetables. Well, that's right. We're not supposed to provoke our children. That's right. Yes. This journey of preparation, it's been good. It's hard when you get hit in the forehead. I always thought that these Beatitudes were a walk in the park. Jesus sitting on the mountainside, lovely weather, feeling the breeze. Blessed are they, blessed are they. What's the opposite of blessed? Wow. And when you read the Beatitudes, it's more of a doing, an action. It's a be attitude, not a sit back attitude. I'm going to read a bit because I don't want to miss, or want you to miss, what I feel God's been saying. So pardon me if I don't look up much or... We have all heard the saying, you are what you eat, and our appetites determine what our diet is going to be. And the food we eat determines our health. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? The phrase, you are what you eat, also applies to the spiritual realm as well. Jesus challenges us to look at our spiritual appetite with a penetrating word to the fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. In this simple sentence, Jesus tells us that our hunger determines our spiritual health. So far in the Beatitudes, well, the first three, we haven't had a message about all of them yet, they speak about an emptiness, or like we recognize that we are spiritually poor and we mourn loss and we are to be emptied of pride and become meek, kind of an emptying, and now we are to be filled. We'll look and see what is meant to be full of righteousness. First of all, hunger and thirst are natural impulses that God built into everyone. Every living thing in the world has this, and God put it there not because he wants you to suffer. He doesn't want you to die. This instinct leads you to go and get food and water. In the Bible, we read of frequent famines and droughts, but there is a different hunger that mankind has. A hunger that mankind has is hunger that of all sorts of things, and this hunger can get warped. A hunger of money, good jobs, prestige, etc. There is by nature this hunger or emptiness, and we don't know what it is that we long for. Empty people long to be filled. The trouble is we don't naturally know where to go and get filled. It is this that drives us, an inner restlessness, a nagging irritation, a sense that things are not as they should be, and a longing for more. For what, we're not quite sure, but we know it is never satisfied or never really content. We all have this hunger, and we know what to do when we are physically hungry. We eat something. But this other hunger, we try to quench it, but can't, because we don't know what this hunger was designed for. This hunger causes impulses, a drive, We try to fill it with all kinds of stuff. Some of us are better at controlling this, what the Bible calls lusts of the flesh. Advertising plays on our hunger. Pornography massages the hunger for many. Busyness helps distract the hunger. With great effort, we try to live our lives and yet never manage to feel content. Sin is all about how this desire within us gets twisted. It is not the desire nor the passion that is wrong, but rather the way we try to satisfy it. Today's verse tells us there's nothing wrong with hunger and thirst. The issue is where it is directed. What is it that we really long for? Jesus tells you what to hunger for: righteousness. Jesus tells us to direct our hunger and thirst to righteousness, and we will find that we'll be satisfied and contented. If we want to understand the fourth beatitude, we need to know what Jesus means by the term righteousness. The word occurs four times in the other three Gospels, and occurs seven times in Matthew's Gospel, five times in the Sermon on the Mount. The word is a mystery to us, and we know it has something to do with being right or doing right, but that's about it. And whenever you come upon a term in the Bible that you don't understand, it's always helpful to look at other passages of Scripture that may shed light on it. With that in mind, let's look at four other uses of the word in the Sermon on the Mount. And we know that four verses later, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness. That's the eighth and final beatitude. So you take the fourth and the eighth beatitude together, and we get something like this. We are to hunger and to thirst after a kind of life that will cause some people to persecute us for our faith. So righteousness is a lifestyle that distinguishes us as true Christians and invites opposition from the world. The second use, Jesus said, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Pharisees had concocted a religious system built around attendance at the temple. It involved intricate rules and regulations and meant following precepts and traditions. It was very professional and very routine. It was like wearing cheap perfume that you splash on to make yourself smell good. It's not really a part of you, and it can't cover the odor underneath. True righteousness starts in the heart and changes a person from inside out. The third use of the word, Jesus said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." The Pharisees loved to pray in public, loudly. They loved to dress up in their religious garb and throw their offering in the metal container so that people could hear the coins rattle. They would sacrifice anything to win the praise of others. Their religion was built on the praise of men, and they still thought God would reward them. But it was a cotton candy religion. It looked good, but there wasn't any substance there. And by contrast, true disciples seek a righteousness that doesn't need to be seen by others, but only by God. And most of us already know the fourth occurrence by heart, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. This touches the priorities of life. What is it that you are seeking in life? Fame, fortune, career advancement, a good salary, secure future, happy retirement, a marriage partner, the fulfillment of your dreams. As good as those things may be, they aren't the most important things in life. Put God's kingdom and God's righteousness first. When you do, everything else you need will be given to you. Seeking his righteousness means letting his word set the standard for your life. It means seeking to do that which is pleasing to him. So, put these four passages together, and what do you have? We are to hunger and thirst after a truly Christian lifestyle that changes us from the inside out, so that we no longer seek the praises of men, but causes us to seek God's approval above everything else. This kind of life is possible for all of us. In fact, Jesus plainly says that anyone who lives this way is blessed by God. Sounds good, doesn't it? So, why don't we all live this way? That question leads us to the second important principle, And the second part of the verse that I want to talk about, and that's the power of hunger. The people Jesus addressed and understood what it was meant to be hungry or thirsty, just like Shakira knew what it meant to be hungry. In the Bible, in that region, few were prosperous. And more than likely, at one time or another, those listeners that day had experienced the kind of hunger he's talking about. They lived in poverty, without the grocery stores and the refrigerators and running water. They may have gone days without food. They were well acquainted with hunger pangs. We have never known true hunger like these people. To us, hunger means waiting an extra 10 minutes for the food to come out of the oven, or 30 minutes for the preacher to finish, or hunger for most of us is that sensation in your stomach. I'll look to this area. That makes us stop at McDonald's for fries and Coke even though we ate 2 hours ago. We are the best fed people on the face of the earth. Our problem isn't finding something to eat. It's getting rid of the accumulation. Jesus uses the metaphors of eating and drinking as the motivating power to live a righteous life. Let's make some observations that help us fill the spiritual hunger of our heart that lead to a righteous life. First of all, you have to want it. No one can force you to eat. The old adage is true. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, granted, for most of us, it doesn't take much forcing to eat. Like food, you have to want to live a righteous life. The verbs for hunger and thirst mean an intense desire, an ardent craving, and an all-consuming pursuit. It is as though you are parched and nothing will stop you from getting to the water fountain to drink. Or you are so hungry you will pursue food at all costs. It's a desperate kind of hunger. In a different context, to describe a person who is ambitious, passionate, and desperate to achieve or to succeed, we'll say he's hungry. It is in that same kind of passion and drive that should motivate the believer to pursue righteousness. And we can listen to the psalmist in what I think we just sang in Psalm 42, 1 and 2, as the deer pants for the streams of water, my soul pants for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? You can hear his desire. And Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Hunger and thirst are intense desires. It is that same intensity that we need in seeking righteousness. Do you have that kind of desperation for a truly Christian lifestyle that changes us from the inside out so that we no longer seek the praise of men but causes us to seek God's approval above everything else? Can you say to Jesus, I not only want you, but I need you. And I not only need you, I must have you. The second thing about hunger is that we need to take action. Appetites aren't filled until you do something about it. It's one thing to intellectually say, I'm hungry and desire food. It's quite another to take the steps to satisfy your hunger or quench your thirst. At some point, you have to eat and drink. If you had a car that you've fixed up, and you're showing it off to your friends, and the guys want to hear it run. Well, you know it doesn't have a motor under the hood, but it's closed up. Nobody knows that. Well, let's see what it can do. Well, I need to repaint it first. Okay, so you repaint it that week. Next week, come back. Well, let's see this thing go. Well, it needs better tires. You know the reason why it's not working, but you actually have to do something about it. You actually get a motor. But we try to hide this hunger. We try to cover it up with different things. The same way, the loss of appetite for food is a sign of illness. Physically, we know something is wrong when we have no desire to eat. The same is true spiritually. When we no longer hunger and thirst for a time alone with God through Bible reading and prayer, or aren't committed to the worship of God, or fail to get alarmed over our sinful condition and the sin of the world, we see clear signs of spiritual sickness. when we no longer take the appropriate action of developing and deepening our relationship with God, a warning light, like the dashboard on your car, needs to be illuminated, signaling that something is wrong. We need help. The action we need to take is to go to the source, the bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. No one comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." That's in John 6. When we are spiritually hungry, we will come to the source of spiritual life, Jesus. Jesus himself. Our real hunger is for God. St. Augustine was right when he said, "O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." So herein is the fundamental problem. To fill this spiritual hunger and thirst, many people are going to the wrong places. Pleasure, performance, possessions, living on the junk food of entertainment, work, video games, internet surfing, etc. Or thinking, "All I need to do is read the Bible every now and then and attend Sunday school and worship every once in a while, serve in the ministry when I feel like it." God says that we need to be careful of what we get ourselves into. Just after Jesus feeds the 4,000, they get into the boat and they want to go across the lake. Ironically, the disciples forgot to bring bread. And I figured, well, they just picked up 7 baskets. How would they do with it? But anyway, they forgot to bring bread. And Jesus says, "Look out for the yeast of the Pharisees." And he says, well, the disciples are baffled. We had bread. What do you mean the yeast of the Pharisees? Aren't we supposed to eat the bread from the Pharisees? They were confused. But actually, Jesus was talking about what the Pharisees were teaching, the false teaching. Where do we get our food from? We need to be careful where we eat and what we eat. We need to go to the source, the bread of life. Not to places that say, well, it's okay to worship other gods, or there's many ways to heaven, or I'm living a good life. We need to go to the source, to the bread of life. Many people today are looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places, trying to satisfy the craving of their hearts with the junk of this world, or in the church and are spiritually malnourished. You need to come to Jesus, the source of life itself. You need to feed upon him with balanced daily diet of prayer and study of God's word. You need to drink from his cup through life-giving worship. You need to feast on his love and his grace, his forgiveness and his power. Another thing about hunger is you need to keep coming back for more. I've ever seen a buffet and my boys are there. They're coming back for more. There's just not enough room on the plate. But grammatically, Jesus uses these two words, to hunger and to thirst. They're two, okay, here's a little lesson here. Two Greek verbs. You English majors, these are present participles, which implies continuous action. Read the fourth beatitude closely. Those who are filled are not those who have their hunger and thirst met, but those who are continually hungering and thirsting. A person doesn't stop hungering and thirsting for righteousness once he or she has crossed the line of faith. It is a constant pursuit to live a life of righteousness, to yearn to be more and more like Christ. So, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Is it a continual pursuit? Are you coming back for more? I have discovered that hungering and thirsting for righteousness is like an addiction. You get hooked. You need more. You keep coming back. And once you have encountered the living God, nothing else satisfies. You want more and more of him. John MacArthur said, "If you claim a relationship with Christ, but you aren't hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you need to honestly question whether you know him." Another thing about the topic of being hungry is you need to eat the whole thing. Believers don't seek bits and pieces of righteousness. They seek all the righteousness of Christ in their desire to be like him. What Jesus is saying is not, give me a piece of bread, but rather, give me the whole loaf. Matthew 5:6 could read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after all righteousness. The Christian is never satisfied because no matter how much righteousness he has, he doesn't have all that's available. The person who hungers and thirsts after righteousness wants it all. They want all of God. Here's a few zingers. Could that be the problem with too many Christians today? We just want enough of God to appease, not to change us. We want enough of God to get us into right standing, avoiding the fire of hell, but not enough to bring on righteousness. The kind that would radically change our lives. As long as it is a superficial change, we're okay. A little cosmetic surgery is fine. Any more than that, we're uncomfortable. We're like Wilbur Rees. He wrote, this is actually a quote from 1971. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a down-and-out homeless man. I want fun, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Are you ready to take all of God? If so, then you will receive the benefit of this beatitude. Here's the third part of this verse, the promise of fulfillment. The third part, the verse, is a promise. They will be filled. With what? Food? Money? Long life? Promotion? Happiness? Perfect family? Trouble-free life? No. So what then? You'll be filled with righteousness, and if you want it, you can have it. If you want for a truly Christian lifestyle that changes us from the inside out, so that we no longer seek the praise of men, but causes us to seek God's approval above everything else, you can have it. Let me go out on a limb and make a bold statement. Most of us are about as close to God now as we want to be. We have about as much joy as we want and about as much peace as we want. For the most part, you are where you are right now because that's where you want to be. If you were hungry for something better from God, you could have it. If you want, you can have a close walk with God. If you want it, you can have a better marriage. If you want to, you can do God's will. If you want to, you can grow spiritually. If you want to, you can become a man or woman of God. If you want to, you can change deeply ingrained habits. And if you want to, you can break destructive patterns of behavior. When you hunger and thirst after righteousness, when you want what God wants, more than anything in the world, you will have it. So, be filled. Jesus' appeal is always personal. He doesn't say, come, join the church, come, be baptized, come, give money. He says, come unto me. When Jesus says, you will be filled, you will be filled with Jesus himself. If you're hungry, eat the bread of life. Thirsty, the water of life. If you're weary and heavy laden, come and find rest. If you're guilty, come and be forgiven. If you're far from God, come back home again. There is a God-shaped vacuum inside every human heart. And since nature abhors a vacuum, if we don't fill it with God, we'll fill it with something else. So many of us have filled our hearts with the junk food of the world. No wonder we are so unhappy. No wonder we will jump from one job to another, or from one relationship to another, or to one type of entertainment to another. We have full stomachs and empty hearts. We are like a little child who won't let go of the marble in order to receive a diamond. We are trapped in the pit of 1,000 excuses. Seems like we'd rather have misery and pain than risk it all on Jesus. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 and 6. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. There is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. So let me give you some good news. In the kingdom of God, everything begins with a seeking heart. Salvation begins with a hungry heart. If you are tired of the life you've been living, you can make a new start. Whatever you want in the spiritual realm, you can have it if you want it badly enough. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? If you are, you can be filled. This is the promise of God to hungry hearts and thirsty souls. Amen.
Turn in our hymnals to page 582. It's important to let those words sit a bit, and I pray that God would work his word into our hearts. I'm always struck that if we're not hungry, we need to pray for that. Let's stand. I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher.
Let's pray. Lord God, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Lord, you are a sun and shield, and you do bestow favor and honor, and no good thing do you withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Lord, bless us. We pray as we journey forward, honoring and glorifying you. May your name always be lifted high. Lord, as we lead this time, may our service begin as we walk out this door. In Jesus' name, amen.